Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And as a lead-in to Psalm 19:7, which is a lead-in to Psalm 119. So it's going to be a topical study tonight. We finished Luke last week. And really, as we're on the eve of New Year's Eve, the day before, or, you know, Friday, this is Wednesday. Friday is going to be New Year's Eve 2021, leading into 2022. And that one of the things that we've been emphasizing here in the church and that Dustin's put together is this reading through the Bible in a year plan. And so I just thought that, I just finished my through the Bible this last week from last year. So now this is mine, my little pamphlet. I hope everybody grabs one. And you know what? The devil doesn't want you to read the Bible. Doesn't want anybody to read the Bible. He doesn't want us to meditate on it. He doesn't want us to enjoy it. He doesn't want us to sit down and ask for God's Holy Spirit to fill us and give us wisdom by reading it. He does everything he can to keep us away from it. Why? Because it is the power. It's God's Word. It's His power. It's to know Him. And there's a New Testament verse that deals with this. And it's in Hebrews 4:12. And it says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful." And the writer of Hebrews is writing this before even the whole Bible is done. But whatever, what God used, the people that decided these are the inspired texts written by God through people. What's called theologically the canon of Scripture. Other people write letters and write books and write theology and everything. But these writings were actually, we can tell because of the various things that you can tell the divine inspiration of God that penned these. And what the writer is saying, the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, the author of the Word of God. Nothing is hidden from Him, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. And so one of the ways that they determined what is Scripture, when back hundreds of years ago when they decided what the Bible would be, the canon of Scripture, is that one of the requirements, of the many requirements, is that when you read it, it cuts you. It cuts you to the heart. There is this, you can feel the knife going in, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and it convicts us because it's God speaking through His Word to convict us. And go to Psalm 19:7, and Psalm 19:7 through 11 is a small version of Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible. And we'll get to that here in a minute. But Psalm 119, this is, Psalm 19 is a lead into Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has 176 verses, longest psalm and the longest chapter, believed to have been written by David, Ezra, or Daniel, and or Daniel. Psalm 119 is an unabridged version of Psalm 119 is unabridged version of Psalm 19, which we're now going to read. And this is a famous scripture, many people memorizing. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, when it's talking about the law of the Lord here and in Psalm 119, what is the psalmist really talking about? It's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the law of God. And the law of God is like the hub of the wheel, because we see through the law of God, creation, the fall of man, the flood, the division of the languages and the scattering of the people, and then Mount Sinai and Abraham and all this stuff and all that stuff. We see the hub of the way God, who God is, what His law is, what he says is good and evil, what He considers an abomination and what he considers holiness in walking with Him, and His desire to then use Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel as the way to get His message out to the world of what it takes to be saved. That's the hub of the law. And then you have the history books and everything else, which just shows how messed up man is and how awesome God is to have to have mercy and kindness and grace to us. And, but, so when we're reading through the Bible, we're reading with Psalm 119, it's talking about the law of the Lord is perfect. But you know, the whole Bible now, the whole inspired Bible is perfect, converting the soul. Because it not only shows us who God is, the hub of the wheel, it shows us all the spokes in the rim of God's interaction with man through history. And so we really can say, in my mind, even though it says the law of the Lord, the Bible from the Lord is perfect. The word of God, complete, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Yeah. People like to live in simplicity. They like to live a simple life. All I care about is here and now. But the Bible makes us realize, it makes you wise to get rid of that simple living for here and now that doesn't do anything. It makes you wise to realize, I better live for eternity. I better live with eternity in mind instead of just living for today. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired. And here's a clincher to me, and I love this verse. More to be desired, the knowledge of God's law and his word, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So now let's go to Psalm 119:1. So there's great reward in letting our mind be converted by the truth of who God is as reflected in his law and in his word. So the poetic aspect of Psalm 119 is it's an alphabetic acrostic, meaning, you know, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, 8 lines, each line of each of the eight, you know, there's 8 verses that use the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and then the next 8 verses use a second letter in the Hebrew alphabet to start out with. The next 8 verses use the third letter of the alphabet too. So it's each time it's using that first letter. It doesn't read that way in English because our English doesn't start out with the same letters the Hebrew does. But so it's poetic, and the first Hebrew letter, Aleph. Did I pronounce that right? I hope. Aleph. So the first 8 verses are all starting with the first Hebrew letter of the alphabet. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. So think about how to be blessed. How many people want to be blessed? Everybody wants to be blessed. What do you have to do? You have to walk in the law of the Lord. You want to be blessed, you walk in the law of the Lord. You walk with an awareness of what God's law says, which if you don't read through the Bible, you don't know what it is. You don't know how to apply it. So again, people, how many Christians do you know? I mean, think about this, maybe even yourself, that, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. How long have you been a Christian? 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever years. How many times have you read through the Bible? Actually, I don't know that I've ever gotten through it. I mean, just think of that. I mean, that's a love letter. Imagine somebody, how long you've been conversing with your wife that's, you know, you married and you loved each other, and she's been in a foreign country with her job, and she's been away for months now. Has she written any letters? Yeah. What have you done? I left them closed. I haven't gotten around to them yet. I mean, that's the analogy. Would any of us do that? No, not if you have to question what kind of love relationship there is if letters had come in and you don't open them. And I remember in boot camp, you know, everybody, mail call, oh, most important thing, mail call. And everybody just is ripping it. What did you get? What did I get? You know, and everybody's talking about that mail that came from out of town. And we should have the same attitude about the law of God, about the word of God. Walk in the law of God. How else are you blessed? Keeping his testimonies. Meaning, you know what? I read them. I know it. God's right. I'm wrong. I'm going to do it. I just want to do what God says to do. And that you seek God with your whole heart. Man, It's hard to get blessed in that one. Whole heart. We seek the Lord with our whole heart. The closer we get to doing that, the more we can be blessed. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity. A blessed person who wants to keep his testimonies and seeks God with his whole heart will do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. If you walk in his ways, you won't be sinning against God or man. Did Jesus walk in the ways of the Father? Yeah. In all ways he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. And why? Because he had a mission to save us. And we as Christians, we can sit there and go, man, I could go flesh out. I could go take care of myself and just live in sin right here. Nobody will notice maybe. We could do that. But if you have a heart for God, you're going to say, but no, I'm not here for myself. I'm here to walk with God. And you'll be blessed. You have commanded us to keep your precepts, your laws, diligently. Did Jesus ever command us to keep his precepts diligently? What did he say? What was, a term that would go along with this? Be holy for I am holy. How about that one? Did he say command us to be holy because he is holy? What is holiness? To walk in obedience to Jesus? Yeah, those who love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so, none of us are perfectly doing that, but a true believer in Jesus should do what? They should aspire to do it. And if you're reading your Bible, you're going to get a power from God to do it. You're going to see yourself growing in your relationship with God if you diligently make sure that the Bible is a priority in your life. And because then when you're tempted and you're walking through, just like Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, he responded with what? The Word of God. How did he do it? Because he was the Word of God. How do we do it? By reading the Word of God. We aren't the Word of God, but we can read it and it can become part of us. And so when we're tempted, we're going to say, no, that's not what God says. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. So even the psalmist is saying, oh man, I wish I lived my day, every day, by your statutes. John 14:25. Let's turn there. The psalmist didn't have the Holy Spirit, did he? He didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of him. That wasn't happening until the church dispensation, where when Jesus paid for the price of our sins on the cross, where we could be made holy positionally before God, and the Holy Spirit could dwell inside of us and communicate with us. And so, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit, which resides in a believer. Because we actually have the Holy Spirit calling in plays in the huddle. The quarterback goes like this. What's he listening to? He's listening to the coach telling him what he's supposed to do in the play. In a sense, that's the way the Holy Spirit is to us. The Old Testament saints, they didn't have anything. They were old school. They just had to pick the play. And now, with the Holy Spirit, we actually have it in there. It amazes me sometimes. I wonder what the coaches think on football games, because they're looking from the top. They see the whole field. They know what's going on. They call a play in. And then you see the quarterback going, yep, I don't like that play. And so then they call it at the line, and you notice how often it goes south. Well, we're the same way. The Holy Spirit can be telling us, this is what the Word of God says. This is a reminder of what the Word of God says. Do it. Oh, but actually it's not going to work right here, God. And so I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to call my own play. And things go south. But this is what it says. This is what Jesus said. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, it says here that the Holy Spirit is going to bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. So we could narrow it down when we're talking to people or ourselves. How often have you read the New Testament? How often have you read the Gospels? And how often would people say, well, I don't know that I've gotten through all the Gospels. I read one, the second one seemed to be so much like it, I just skipped the other three. You know, I read it, I know enough. But if we let the Holy Spirit, we get what Jesus tells us. And actually, it's not just the Gospels. It's not, how much of the Bible is red letter, technically? All of it. Technically, it's all red letter. It's God that has breathed these words throughout all of the Scripture, through all the prophets of the Old Testament and all the apostles of the New Testament. It's His, and so the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance. Oh, I shouldn't do that because I remember the story of this one person in the Old Testament that was Saul, King Saul. He was walking with God when he was humble, and then he got proud. He got full of pride. And then he started corrupting himself and corrupting the nation, and that disaster and consequences. And so I better not walk in pride. I better stay humble. You know, you could just have, the Holy Spirit can say, stay humble, stay obedient. Don't think that you can get away with something, because you can't get away with anything. Look at the people that tried to do stuff in the Scriptures. They thought they could get away with something. Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah, you and I will steal from God. We'll tell these people we're really spiritual because we gave the whole price of our property to them. Oh, really? Did you really give it that much? Because the Holy Spirit whispered to Peter, they're lying to you. Oh, we're going to get away with it. It was my wife and I, and we didn't have an Alexa in the house. And so, you know, she doesn't even know what happened here in this conversation. So how could they know? The Holy Spirit says, oh, you're lying. Boom, they're dead. And so we can sit there and realize we don't get away with stuff by just letting the Word of God and everything about it just guide our ways. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. How? By the Holy Spirit, meaning to remembrance, which means we have to read it to let it come into our minds. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. So, oh, that I would be directed by your statutes, so that when I read something, I go, oh, I've done that. And I'm ashamed that something that you consider an abomination, something that has caused disaster, I'm ashamed that I did this. So if I just live in walking with Him, I don't have to be ashamed. Read and apply the law of God, you won't be ashamed. The world might think you're a nut, but you're not going to be having, you know, as so many pastors have, or Christians have, had newspaper articles about, oh, they got caught with the DUI, they did this and did that and everything else. And we sit there, man, if I would have just listened to your law, I wouldn't be ashamed as what happens here in my life. Or even God, the conscience of, oh, God, I'm sorry I did that. I will praise you with an uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. A true believer knows that God's laws are good and righteous. We don't cut and, you know, we don't cut and paste. We're cut and throw. Worse yet, you know, everything that God says is right. It's in another conversation with somebody that calls up every once in a while, and you know, just she struggles with, you know, knowing that God is perfectly righteous in all the things that He has done. Why did He do this? Why did He do that? But when we're reading it, we have to have the idea that He's righteous. I keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. I know your judgments are good and upright. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. This is so important. Not many of us in the room are doing child rearing, but boy, I tell you, I wish even as a dad way back when that to just tell our children who are growing up in a corrupt world, you know, your ways left to your own, you'll live in the world and die in the world in misery. The only way to keep it from happening is that you would love Jesus. And right now, that's not in your mind. You can't really think about it. You're too young. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the truth. The Bible is the truth. We're going to go through it in the time that you're in this house. And you can think it's a waste of time. You can think it's too hard, it's too difficult, and it's not what other people are doing. It's not what's cool. It's not what gets everybody excited. You know, what did you do at home? Well, my dad and I, we sat down. He really wants me to know the Word of God. And what? Your dad does what? Well, he wants to cleanse my way. He wants my ways to be cleansed by taking heed according to God's word. World says that a person has to be cleansed by... How does the world say, oh man, your son's a juvenile delinquent. What does he need? What does he need in the world today? What, you're having trouble. You go to the workplace. Man, my son, he's just such trouble and stuff, getting into running around and doing this and that. Have you sent him to counseling? Have you gone to the school counselor? Have you gotten on Ritalin or something else? Some drug, some medication? And we have millions of kids on Ritalin over the years that have just destroyed their lives and everything else. And counselors that don't have a clue because they don't bring the wisdom of the Word of God into the situation. They're not going to do that. They're going to probably encourage them. Well, you know, the reason you're struggling is you probably don't know whether you're born a male, but you might be a female. Or a female, you might be a male. That's what you're struggling with because you're not being accepted in the school because you're not embracing this agenda. And you just need to open up your horizons. Don't listen to your parents. They're too narrow-minded. They've messed you up. This is why you're so messed up. That's the world. And the world's doing that to destroy kids today like never before, I bet you, in history. It's completely destroying them. And yet, what does it say? The Bible says, how does a man, young man, cleanse his way? By realizing that God's word is right. And these counselors and these social engineers and these people that are spouting off the lies of demons, they would be able to be told, don't listen to the world. It's inspired by Satan to destroy you. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The importance of Bible memory. And actually, one of the things I'm hoping to do is every week in the bulletin, we put in the wow verse, word of wisdom verse, and we put the bulletin verse in. And, you know, and the wow, I've been taking this year in the section of scripture I've been reading through that week in going through the Bible. And all of them are Bible memory type verses. And so for the youth, I'm thinking, except the youth are down, some are down in Sunday school and everything, but just to have a time during the service where any child or even adult that just commits to memory the wow of the previous week, they can just give the wow. That's kind of an idea floating around in my head. To just enhance scripture memory. When I became a Christian, scripture memory was such a big deal. You know, you're a Christian now? Okay. Well, where's your scripture memory cards? You know, get in the car. Where's your scripture pack? Because you put it on the dashboard. You put it at some place where you can just sit there while you're driving. You're memorizing scripture. And I bet you can't even order scripture memory cards from any place anymore. Maybe you can. But just where you had the major verses of the Bible to scripture memory. Small verses, little cards. You'd sit there and memorize them. It's a hidden, it's a lost art to hide in our hearts that we might not sin against you. And it's good to do it when you're young because it's hard to memorize stuff when you're older. Blessed are you, verse 12, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Our prayers when we sit down, God, I'm going to read your word now. I want you to teach me. We're talking to the author. You know, it's like the author who through the Holy Spirit can speak to us. And we just say, God, I want you to teach me. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Our lips should never contradict what God has said. Man, you are so archaic. Man, you are so in the... You're so ancient to sit there. Putin. The President Putin, you heard what he said? Something really radical. Really radical. Was it yesterday? I mean, he's got the whole world just freaking out at him. Because he said a man's a man and a woman's a woman. I mean, he's like, I think we're going to nuke him for that. So, yeah. So, I mean, Putin isn't known for being any Christian that I know of. I mean, I haven't ever heard him confess that he knows the Lord Jesus. But see, he believes that part of what God has said. And so, and what he had no problem making sure that his mouth communicated what God says about that, knowing he's the leader of a country that can be pounced on by the craziness, psychos of the rest of the Western world. And with my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Whatever God says is evil to us is what? Evil. Whatever he says is good is good. Let the world say whatever else. We just say what the Bible says, what God says. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Again, Psalm 19:10 that we read already. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Now, how can reading the Word of God and falling in love with the God of the Bible who penned the Word of God, how can that be more than all the riches? What happens to the riches of this world? They're all gone. People can throw the coins in your casket if they want to. But it doesn't do anything. But the Word of God saves our soul, which lasts forever. And so there's more value in the truth of the Word of God than in anything of this world. I will meditate on your precepts, verse 15, and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Meditate on his word. Not meditate. I'm going to go meditate. Chant some mantra. A lot of so-called Christian teachers are emphasizing the need to center down on your meditation where you empty your mind. You know, New Age is in the church. You know, the New Age doctrine. See, when I was meditating in New Age mindset as a kid getting into the New Age movement, you're supposed to empty your mind and just receive the wisdom from the ascended masters that would speak to you somehow. Demons. You know, you empty your mind, you get demons. You fill your mind with the Word of God, you keep yourself from demons. So it's meditating on the Word of God. God, you said this. Oh, you know, how can I apply it? Lord, and see, here's the other thing. Every year we go through life, our life is changing, the interactions we're having, the struggles we're having, the sinful temptations that are coming. And so something that didn't mean anything when you went through it one time, you're reading through it again, and you go, oh. This Word of God applies to this thing that I went through. Oh, Lord, just let that sink deep. Become something I memorize, something that you get me through. So we meditate on the Word of God. It might slow down your reading. It might be okay to miss getting the reading through that day, because God wants you to meditate on something and let it sink deep in that day. It'd be better to take 2 years to go through and let meditation of the Word of God instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to read, you know, and just not let it sink into your life. And with my whole heart I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that might not sin. Meditate. Verse 16. We finished verse 16. Verse 17. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. And there really is. God bless. As I want to seek you, bless my life so I can keep on praising you. Yeah, it's a little bit of a selfish prayer. God, don't let me die. Don't let me get distracted by curses in life so that I can praise you, you know, just serve you. Live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. How many of you ever read the Bible and all of a sudden you have a eureka moment of something that just like, wow, it pops out of the page. You didn't understand it before. And all of a sudden, one of the ones that I mentioned earlier, and Dan helped, you know, sometimes you get it through other people that have made you aware of something, but you just go, wow. You know, like the whole thing with the people that wanted to just touch the hems of Jesus' garment, you know, stuff like that. You could read that for years and years and years and not know, and all of a sudden you can say, oh, you can put the hem of the garment with the verse about the tassels and, you know, just touching the law of God. And then all of a sudden you go, wow, how cool is that? You know, that, you know, this 400-year-old prophecy of Malachi is being fulfilled when they're touching Jesus' tassels, and they know that he's, and that's showing that they knew he was the Messiah to do that, because Malachi was prophesying the Messiah. You know, you go, they touch his clothes. Why do they do that? Okay. But all of a sudden it can go, and just, you can have a eureka moment, and that's what he's saying. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things. That's another thing you can pray before you're reading the Word of God. God, I want to see something. I want to get in a deeper relationship with you through your word, by you actually speaking to me a deep thing of God today. Healing in his wings. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, Malachi is talking about healing in his wings, which is the same Hebrew word that was used tassels in Deuteronomy. So, yeah, we covered that when we recently went to Malachi. And So, I am, verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. I want to, the more we fall in love with God's ways, the more of a stranger you feel here. Is that true? The more we love God, don't you just feel like, I don't belong here? I don't want to be here? Somebody was telling me today that at the Christmas dinner, there was a table there, and they were all talking about, man, we just want to go home. We want to get out of here. We want to go be with Jesus. And the non-believer that was there was just like, what's with these people? Don't you like it here? No, I don't like it here compared to what I know I'm going to. I feel like a stranger here. People don't think the way my God thinks. People don't want to believe in Him. They don't want to trust Him. They curse Him. They hate Him. And He's a creator. He is the Lord of my life. He's a savior of my soul. I don't want to be around people that hate my Jesus, except for being able to tell them that they can love my Jesus in exchange for, you know, repenting of their sins and rebellion against Him, in which my Savior wants me to be here to tell them. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Are we groaning? You know, the soul breaks in longing. What's another word? Longing, groaning. Are we groaning for the righteousness of God to come and put an end to this place? Romans says the same thing. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs, Romans 8:22, together until now. And not only they, not only the creation, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Our soul is already there, you know. I mean, our soul is already in that relationship. This body is going to get replaced. It's going to be purchased too. And we groan until it happens. My soul breaks with longing. Same thing in 2 Corinthians 5, same thing. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. A proud person, what? What do they think about God? Well, He's not Alpha. You know, God's not Alpha. I'm Alpha. So He says something. I don't care. It's not what I agree with. So you're going to do something else. And so then, you know, we sit there and go, you rebuke the proud, the cursed, because they hate you. They hate you and your laws. Not me. I want to be blessed because I love your law. I want you to be Alpha. I want you to be the one that ruled my life. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Does the world hate us for being in love with the God of the Bible? But it shouldn't change our desire to meditate on His truth because we delight in Him, not man. We don't care about what politicians think. Anybody that agrees with our Jesus, well, we agree with you. Well, and then when they curse us and malign us because we agree with our Jesus, we sit there and go, well, think what you want for the short time you have. I'm going to go to my eternal Savior forever and ever. You can do what you want to do. Remove from me reproach and contempt. You know, get rid of those people that think I'm an idiot because that's what's going to happen to them. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. And this appears to be like, I fall down sometimes. Do we ever feel like just hitting the ground and just going, God, this place, my life, my sin, my corruption, the things that have bothered me. We just hit the dirt like, man. And my soul clings to us. Revive me. How do we get revived from that? The grieving of the things of this world, either ourselves or what the world is. The Word of God. The Word of God gives us comfort that it's okay. He picks us up. And He goes, okay. You're okay. You're living in this world. We're moving. You know, I'm moving you out. We're going to take you to a better place. You can keep going. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. I want to serve you. You've taught me your word. I want to believe in them and be set free from my dead ways. Make me understand the way of your precepts so I So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. My soul melts with heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Do you ever have the heaviness of life? Yep. And the only way to revive us is by God's word, strengthening us and taking the grief away. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Would you say lying is one of the hardest things to live your life in total obedience to Jesus? Especially when you see the red lights behind you. And, oh, officer, it was kind of fun being with my son. You know, and it was like playing around with, oh, officer, this. driving. You know, the typical things that they would hear, they hear it all the time. They get used to them. But one of the ways, here's how the Word of God can do this. If you have, you know, people struggle with lying. Here's one of the ways to do it. Proverbs 6:16. Let's turn there. We're almost done here. Proverbs 6:16. Because we're only going to go to verse 32. This is a verse that you could memorize, and it just, you know, God has made lying a major issue to not do, to minimize it. These six things the Lord hates. Okay, so I love Jesus. I love Jesus and as my Lord and Savior. And then I realize there's six things he hates. Actually, yes, seven are an abomination to him. Actually, there's seven things he hates. And the first one is a proud look, which is the source of everything, right? The proud look, I'm in charge. I don't answer to God. He hates to see somebody be deceived into pride because they're following Satan, who in his pride fell from heaven. And he knows that pride, by being deceived by Satan, the enemy of their souls, is going to lead them into rebellion their whole life because they want to live for themselves and they'll die and be separated from God. And he hates that. He hates seeing people deceived into death. But he also hates, the second one is, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies, twice lies. And one who sows discord among brethren. So, I mean, the only one that's repeated twice is lies. You know, he just hates it when people live in lies with one another. And may God help us from that. And the Word of God can keep it from happening. And so, really, what we should do is, in things that we're struggling with, as we go through the Bible, okay, I'm struggling with this or this or this. You know, lies, sins of the past, sins that have gotten hold of you in the past and stuff. And just memorize the verses. Lord, I don't want to lie. You hate lying. I want to hate lying too. I have chosen the way of truth. Going back to Psalm 119, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth as compared to lies. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. Why? Because they are truth. Instead of lies, all the world is lying about what it takes to do whatever because they are in rebellion against God. I believe the truth because it's God is the truth, and I'm not going to lie and join the world in its lies. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I cling to your testimonies. I cling to your word. O Lord, do not let these God haters who say, oh, he's a Bible thumper, he's useless, he's lame-o, he's on the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, when they see that I get everlasting life and they get eternal damnation, you know, don't let me be put to shame. Don't let me be believing a lie, which we know is not the case, right? We know it can't be true. And I really do thank God for the love for the truth here, because we've lived through 2 years of an absolute curse of lies, right? You got to put on a mask because it'll keep you from the disease. Yeah, did that. 3 weeks and then we're going to flatten the curve. Lie. Put on a mask, it'll keep it from spreading. Lie. Put on two masks, it'll keep it from spreading. Lie. Take your jab, it'll keep you from getting COVID. Lie. I mean, just lies, 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 lies. And when we started realizing here the lies of it, it separated us from people that want to believe a lie and the truth. But aren't you? And they cursed us. They shamed us. But we're clinging to, we know it's a lie. I'm not going to live a lie. You know, I can't live a lie. But they think we're a bunch of idiots, but someday they're going to realize, wow, they just did it because it was the truth. We didn't want to hear the truth. We didn't want to believe the truth. The truth was Fauci. They said the truth was God. And verse 32, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. The more I fall in love with this, the more I'm going to have a heart for God. He's going to open up my heart to, instead of just being self-centered, he's going to open it up to have a love for him. And he has a love for everybody that's on this planet. And he'll enlarge my heart to want to serve and obey and trust him, because he's my Lord and Savior. Amen. So it's really tragic that people will go through their life this next year without caring about the Word of God in their lives. It's tragic. Let's not be one of them, right? So let's try and push out. If TV's a problem, get rid of TV. Or this is the way I've done it when I first started doing it. I couldn't read any news or do anything until I had read my Bible for the day, because I knew I was a news addict. So I figure, okay, I'll discipline myself to get through the Bible by not doing something I want to do that takes time. I don't have time to read the Bible. Well, no, actually, I haven't made time to read the Bible. I'm not making time. I make time to do other things. And so what I need to do is get rid of those things that I know I can do without, because they're not as important. They don't enlarge the heart. They don't keep a sinful man from his wicked ways. They don't this and this and this and this, all the things we just covered. And so I can get rid of something and have something much more important in our life. So, no, I'm preaching to the choir here, but let's commit to it this year, all right, again. And we might not have to go through the whole year before we'll be sitting at the feet of the Word of God forever and ever. Father, we thank you for your Word. We pray that you would just enrich it more to our hearts. God, help us to keep from being so distracted by the things of life that we forget to have that deep and fulfilling wonderful and beautiful relationship of, although we can't see you, Lord, we know you're there. We know that you're real. And your Holy Spirit can truly at times touch us with that reality that people can't even understand. That we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and we're someday going to be delivered from this planet and given everlasting life at your feet, and to worship you and to stand in awe for all of eternity of your creative power and glory and holiness, Lord, along with all the angels. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, worship God.
I keep falling in love with him over and over, over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
It's so awesome to worship the true God, to know that he is the way, the truth, and the life, to love him. And keep falling in love every time we get closer and closer to him and see his work in his life, see him working our life. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.